Hi, this is Pastor Bob Yandy, and we're talking about the fundamentals of the Christian life. And today we're going to talk about, why do we take communion? What is communion? Why do we stop at least once a month, or maybe even every week, some churches, and take communion together? It represents the two major works of Jesus Christ on the cross, and that is salvation and divine healing. Let's go to the Word together.
For more than 40 years, Bob Yandian has been an expositor of the Bible, making seemingly complicated doctrine easy to understand. Grab your Bible and study the Word of God with Bob Yandian.
Hello and welcome back again to Student of the Word. We are on lesson number 3, talking about the fundamentals of the faith. And today we're going to be taking up the communion table. And I just want to say very quickly thank you to those who've been with me for a long, long time. And for those who joined maybe just a few months ago and became a partner with me, or those who've just been watching for a little while and you tell me that, you know, it's so good, you want to become a partner with me. But I've often had people tell me, I just don't know how much to give. There is no much how to give. It's just what you purpose in your heart. You know, I had one guy comment one time. He said, man, I said, I'd heard somebody say that they gave, you know, $1,000 to your ministry. And I said, well, yeah, I get some of those. I said, but the bulk of them, man, they're all $10, $20, $50. I said, it's just whatever you can afford. God simply says, as a man purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. I think what Jesus said about that woman that gave that little mite when she was giving to Jesus, he said, she's given more than everybody else. You know why? Because it was more difficult for her to give that little bit of money than it was for others to give great amounts of money. And he didn't like it when the Pharisees stood on the street and made major deals on how much they gave into the ministry of the temple. And so he's simply saying there, you can't put every person in the same box. As a man purposes in his heart, or a woman, then let him give. You purpose in your heart. If you want to become a partner with me, I would gladly love to have you as a partner. Man, all the partners just, you know, pooling all of it together, I can do things I could never do on my own. Yes, God has called me to minister and teach the Word of God, but he's called you to help support me in doing that. And then we share of the rewards, not only in time to hear about people whose lives have been changed, ministers and pastors who have had changes in their life. There's also that great thing to know that when we get to heaven and stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you'll be rewarded equally, not for how much money you gave, but for the amount of difficulty it was in you giving that. Even though it seemed like a small amount to other people, it was a great amount to you. And that's why, again, the woman who just gave that mite was so important. Jesus made that point about her. So I'd love for you to join me. Just listen, go to my website, bobyandian.com. Maybe the Holy Spirit's put a figure on your heart. Be sure and be obedient to the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't do that every single time. That's why the Bible says, as you purpose in your heart, so give. And that's what God is looking for. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for you don't know what evil's going to be upon the earth. That doesn't mean the guy that gives a whole lot of money is going to be protected more than the person who gave a small amount in the eyes of everybody else. No, that small amount was difficult for him to give. And God says there's protection in you. Again, give a portion of 7 also to 8. You don't know what evil's going to be upon the earth. God blesses back and protects givers. So again, that's simply it. So go to bobyandian.com. You'll find a place there where you can become a partner with me. Today, we're going to take up the communion table. And we've talked about different areas of the Christian life. And today we're going to talk about the communion table. We've talked about the new birth. We've talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit. But once you're born again, you'll come to church and notice that there's a communion table. And you wonder what that's about. When it comes to ritual, ritual is designed to teach you the Word of God. And the most important things, there's going to be 3 or 4 forms we'll have in our own life when we come to church of ritual. But God's going to take that ritual and teach you something dramatically important. And the communion table points to Jesus and the work that he did on the cross. There's 2 elements. We'll talk about that. And it simply comes back to this. When Jesus went to the cross, he took our sins and he also took our sicknesses on the cross. This is found in Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5, where it talks about the fact that he took our sicknesses. And it says in verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. Let me give you some other translations on that. First of all, take a look at verse 4, and then we'll talk about the translations. Verse 4 says griefs. It's the Hebrew word koili. And where it says there in verse 4 that he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, the word griefs again, koili means sickness and disease. Sorrows is the Hebrew word makab and talks about physical pain. So Jesus went to the cross, took our physical pain, physical sickness, physical diseases, as well as bringing salvation. Then verse 5 brings that out. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. So not only did he die for our sickness and disease, but he died also for our peace, which is salvation, a relationship with him. And the first thing that Jesus points out is, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The war is over. Jesus settled it at the cross, and he simply wants you to join the winning side. You're born on the losing side. You're born under the seed of Adam, but by faith in Jesus Christ, you can be transferred into Jesus Christ, who conquered Satan, conquered sin, and conquered sickness at the cross. So again, verse 5 says, the chastisement of our peace, this is our salvation, was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. They're both brought out here of what was covered in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. In Jesus' death, salvation for the inward man and healing for the outward man were both accomplished at the cross. Now, there's other aspects of the cross, but these are the two major things. And once we're born again, one of the first things that happen is, therefore, again, being justified by faith, we have peace. A great peace comes into our life. Why? Because now I know I don't need to struggle trying to get myself right with God or trying to get to heaven, because my struggle won't get me anywhere. It came by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment I said amen, even at 5 years old when I received Jesus, or you received Jesus and in a prayer, it may not be a prayer, maybe just the fact that you just accepted Jesus. But again, that prayer that's so often attached to it, we have a person pray and they receive Jesus. And when they do that, the moment they do, there's a peace that comes because you understand something. I've been struggling for something that was a gift the entire time. All I had to do was reach out and receive the gift. I don't even have to ask for it because God's already holding it out to me. All I need to do is reach out and receive it. So again, salvation for the inward man and healing for the outward man were both accomplished at the cross. Salvation and healing are inseparably linked together. Let me give you some other translations of Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. Young's translation, a man of pains and acquainted with sicknesses. Surely our sicknesses he has borne and our pains he has carried. The reason why I'm bringing this out is because it's not something that I'm just teaching off the cuff or something I made up. So many translations have looked into the Hebrew of the Old Testament, and those who have looked to the Greek of the New Testament find Isaiah 53 quoted in both the Old and the New Testament. Isaiah brings that in chapter 53, and then Matthew brings it out also in speaking of the ministry of Jesus about the fact that he healed based on Isaiah chapter 53. So Young's translation says, again, he was a man of pains and acquainted with sicknesses, and surely our sicknesses he has borne and our pains he has carried. Leeser translation, he was a man of pains and acquainted with disease. There you go. Again, Young calls it sickness and Leeser calls it disease. But only our diseases did he bear and our pains he carried. So this again brings out the twofold work of the cross, that not only did Jesus die for our sins, but also for our sicknesses and our diseases. The Amplified translation, a man of sorrows and pains and acquainted with griefs and sicknesses. He brings out the total aspect of what it's saying there, and the Amplified again nails it. Rotherham, a man of pains and familiar with sicknesses. Our sicknesses he carried, and as for our pains, he bore the burden of them. My favorite is the Bible in Living English by Stephen Byington. Here it says, he was despised and avoided by men, a man of pains and familiar with sicknesses. Like one from whom people screened their faces, we despised him. We did not count him for anything, but in fact, it was our sicknesses he was carrying, our pains he was loaded with, while all the time we thought he was a smitten one, man, struck by God and disciplined. He was being stabbed by our crimes, felled by our guilt. The chastisement to give us soundness came on him, and by his stripes we got healing. Oh, wow, that's a tremendous translation. Again, I love it. So again, he put a little bit of spin on some of it, you know, as far as his own personality was concerned, but man, he nailed the translation so good. Bible examples. We find again that those things that spoke for salvation also spoke for the healing of the body. Exodus chapter 12, this is the Passover. After the Passover of sins, and they came out of Egypt on the first Passover, it says there was not one feeble one among them. So not only was there forgiveness of sins and separation from themselves from Egypt, but also separation from the sickness and diseases of Egypt. Second Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 20. This also speaks of the Passover. When the people took the Passover, the Lord listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. How simple can we get? When Jesus went to the cross, again, he not only took our sins, but he bore our sicknesses. Leviticus 14 and verse 18, atonement was made for the cleansing of the leper. Leprosy was a type of sin. Why was a sickness used for sin? Because they're so closely tied together. Sin brought in sickness into this world. Numbers chapter 21 and verse 9, the brass serpent was on the pole for physical healing of snake bite. The brass serpent on the pole Jesus brought out in the New Testament when speaking to Nicodemus, he said that that was placed there for the forgiveness of sins. But we also find out that the people, when they looked at it, they were healed of snake bite. John chapter 3 verses 14 and 15 is the one I was referring to, where Jesus, speaking to Nicodemus, says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That serpent on the pole was a type of Jesus. Notice it wasn't a lamb on a pole. It was a serpent on a pole, because when Jesus went to the cross, he became our sins and he became our sicknesses. He literally took them into himself, and those things covered him and was inside of him, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The serpent's bite was sickness as well as sin. Psalm 103 verses 1 through 3, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases. Man, I got more to keep going, but you know what? We're going to have to take them up in the second half. But let me again point out to you, for those of you right now that are beginning to understand this, perhaps you've been taught against it. And, you know, Jesus only took our sins on the cross. Well, thank God he took our sins. That's the eternal part. But he also took our diseases, which stand in front of us and represents the fact that we are separated from God. And those diseases represent the fall of man. Jesus died to bring us back to him and back to God the Father. So in studying this and understanding this, it began to give you a greater understanding of what Jesus did for us on the cross. So right now, listen, I'm going to just tell you this. During the second half of this broadcast, I'm going to pray for you, those of you who are sick, and we're going to take it back to the cross and realize that whatever it is, cancer, whatever kind of disease it is, or even minor things, those things were nailed with Jesus to the cross. And not only did his blood forgive our sins, but by his stripes, we were healed. I'll see you right after the break.
Are you new to the Christian faith or ready to revisit the powerful truths that keep you strong? Introducing the New Believers Bundle from Bob Yandian Ministries. This resource includes a flash drive loaded with audio and video from the Bible teaching series, Essentials of the Christian Life, as seen on the TV broadcast, Student of the Word with Bob Yandian. Plus, you'll get the companion booklet, Starting Strong, Foundations for New Believers. In this easy-to-follow guide, Pastor Bob unpacks seven powerful truths straight from the Word of God, truths every believer needs to know and live by. What it really means to be born again, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues, the importance of water baptism and communion, the power of laying on of hands, why we should praise and worship God, and how God's Word anchors your life in every season. These aren't just doctrines. They're the essentials. They're the tools to help you walk in confidence, stability, and purpose, no matter what life throws your way, whether you're just beginning your journey or building your foundation stronger than ever. Start right. Start strong. Order now at bobyandian.com.
Theology Simplified is a practical guide to foundational biblical truth. Basic doctrines are not difficult, but easy to understand. They often become disguised as complicated or deep-sounding words, but the definitions are simple. Pastor Bob makes complex theological concepts clear and practical. 8 crucial doctrines are demystified: redemption, justification, sanctification, reconciliation, predestination, election, propitiation, and glorification. These 8 precepts, essential for all believers to understand, come to light as you read and arrive at a deeper understanding of the finished work of Jesus Christ. To order Theology Simplified, visit our website at bobyandian.com.
Bob Yandian Ministries is training up a new generation in the Word of God. Because of your generosity, this teaching ministry is able to change countless lives. You will never know until you get to heaven how many people received Jesus, were filled with the Holy Spirit, healed, or found God's will for their life through your support and prayers. If you would like to become a partner with Bob Yandian, visit bobyandian.com and click on Partnership.
Let me quickly review a few things we talked about just before the break. The Passover represents sins and brought the people out of Egypt, but it also said when they came out, there wasn't one feeble one among them. Notice this, partaking of the Passover included healing. They didn't even think about it. 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 20, when the people took the Passover, the Lord listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. Leviticus 14, 18, the same thing. Atonement was made for the cleansing of the leper. And leprosy is a type of sin. Numbers 21, verse 9, the brass serpent. We talked about that. Tied it right in with John chapter 3. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus there was speaking about the fact that on the cross, Jesus would become sin on the cross. But also, he brings out in the Old Testament here that atonement was made for the cleansing of the leper because of that. And so that brass serpent on the pole was for physical healing of snake bite as well as for the forgiveness of sins. We see all that right there in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3 says, "Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases." Again, we come back to the cross. I'm going to pray for you right now. Those of you who are sick, or maybe you want to stand in for someone else, and that's been done through the Word of God, that other people have stood in for others. The man with the, you know, with the servant that was sick at home, and so he came to Jesus. Just speak the word from here, and my servant will be healed there. And all I'm simply asking you to do is just believe it. Don't try to force it. Don't try to manufacture something. Just say, "Lord, I believe this. I believe it because it's in your word. Your word cannot lie. Your word is truth." Father, right now I agree with the people, the men and the women, young people, old people right now that are praying in front of this television set right now. And Father, I agree with them that they are healed, the ones that are watching right now. And Father, we command sickness and disease to remove itself from them. Satan, you're the author of disease as well as the author of sin. And we rebuke you in Jesus' name and command you to turn loose of them. And sickness, turn loose of them now. For those, the Father, that are for standing in for others that are far away, Father, we pray for them right now. That, Father, I don't know the distance. I don't know their names. But you know what? Because the person in front of that TV knows who they are, then you know who they are. So right now, Father, I curse sickness and disease in them. I curse whatever's coming against them. And, Father, we rebuke it in Jesus' name and declare, just as Isaiah has told us today in this passage of Scripture, that by your stripes we were healed. Father, we thank you for it. And Father, I expect to hear great reports coming in Jesus' name. For those of you watching right now, listen, when that thing just disappears from you, or you hear about that grandma so-and-so or brother so-and-so, your friend so-and-so, you know, was healed, I want you to write me and tell me. Just let me know, okay? You can find it there, and you can do it on the website, and let me know that thing came through. And again, I appreciate it very much. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3 tells us this: "Forget not all of his benefits." Notice benefits is plural. And here's two of them right here: "Who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases." I want you to notice the "all." When Jesus went to the cross, he healed all diseases and he forgave all iniquities. That's the purpose of the cross. So don't think, "Well, this is too hard." And this is what, listen, if he can forgive your sins, which is far more difficult than healing your diseases, because diseases was a result of the fall. He goes back and literally nails the curse at its roots. And that was the disobedience of Adam and Eve, the sin they committed. Luke chapter 14. Verse 18 says this, Jesus said that God has anointed me to preach the gospel, deliverance to the captive, that's sin, recovering of sight to the blind, that's sickness, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, that's Jubilee. He's simply saying Jubilee is a dedication of what Jesus was going to do on the cross. And our attitude toward the work that Jesus did on the cross is once we understand it, we have nothing but Jubilee. I mean, Jesus took our sins, forgave them of the things we've tried to do. We've tried to live better lives, and we've tried with all of our strength, and all it is works in God's sight. But God simply wants you to know the moment you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, your next thing you're doing is eligible to be healed of your sickness and your disease. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 9, Jubilee began after the Day of Atonement. Jubilee restored everything back to its original owner. And at the end of those 50 years, that's when Jubilee was, you could go back and the person that had ripped you off and bought something from you and paid you far less than what was worse, and you didn't find out later on, you can go back and reclaim those things. I'm here to let you know that the year of Jubilee, it's a type of being born again. Our Jubilee occurred when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and Satan has to give back to us the thing he stole from us, righteousness. He stole that from Adam and Eve, and next of all, our health. He stole that from mankind from that point on. And the point of it is those two are covered right there, along with so many other things that we have, that again, those things were covered. And the person, all they had to do was go down to a certain office and declare, here's what it is, and show a bill of goods and all that, and details of it. All I'm telling you is we have the details of it. God knows, we know. And Satan knows, and we just simply put Satan in remindance that I'm coming to the Father, and I'm going to take this disease and put it before him, because it came from you in the beginning, and I claim the rights of Jubilee. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says this, and verse 15. Verse 16 says this, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. You see, sometimes the sickness is on us because of how we've treated other people, but it's really a sin toward God. And that's why it says again, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. And verse 15, the verse before it says this, the prayer of faith will save the sick. If he's committed any sins, they will be forgiven him. The verse before says, listen, God will forgive you. If you've done anything wrong and you're partaking of communion, the prayer of faith will save the sick. If he's committed any sins, they will be forgiven him. And this is also talking about here in this verse of scripture, the anointing with oil. Confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. This verse is saying, listen, whenever you come to the Lord and he forgives you, stop and think about it just a minute. As he has forgiven you, you need to do the same things of people you have wronged. And I mean, you know you were wrong in the whole thing, but you know what? Your pride has stood up and you keep going, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And suddenly you realize something. I've got to humble myself. And perhaps what's in right now in front of me is my own fault. There was a man in our church that came to me. I taught on the man that was let down on the cot and the four men that let him down on the ropes and brought him down in there. And Jesus just went to him and said, son, your sins are forgiven. And a man came to me after church and said, he said, I know you've talked about that and that our sins can stop it. But he said, I want to ask you a question. Do you think maybe that man couldn't forgive himself? He said, because I came through that. There was a time whenever, you know, the Lord, you know, I went to the Lord to heal me. And all I kept thinking about was, you know, the fact that I had things against other people and I had faults one toward other people. He says, and on top of that, I couldn't forgive myself. He said, I did such a bad thing that I thought, how could I have done that? And he said, God had forgiven me. I knew he had, but yet I couldn't forgive myself. And somehow I thought I was righteous for carrying this thing. And I said, I don't know, I'll have to go look at it. And so the man told me, he said, I finally got over it and went to the Lord and asked for forgiveness of it. And he said, went to my friend that I had wronged and asked him to forgive me too. But I went, looked at it. And sure enough, I mean, in the Greek, I mean, what we had there was the perfect tense. And Jesus simply said to him, son, your sins have been forgiven from the very beginning. From the time you asked me, they've been forgiven. You need to forgive yourself. And so again, we find it there in those verses of scripture that not only confessing your faults one to another simply might mean you need to confess your faults to yourself and bring it to the Lord and admit it before him. Matthew chapter 9, verses 4 through 6 says this, but Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which one is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? But so that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed, rise, pick up your bed and go home. He was saying that healing on the outside is proof. I can forgive sin on the inside. That's why I sent healing to let you know if a doctor can't get rid of this, if no one can get rid of it, and I heal it right there in front of you, it's the same as the fact that no man can forgive your sins except Jesus Christ. And through him, God the Father does. Then he said to the paralytic, rise, take up your bed and go home. Jesus said right here that outward healing is a sign he can forgive your sins. That's why both were taken care of on the cross. The word sozo is often translated also healing, and it means wholeness. The word sozo, which is the word for salvation, also means healing. Jehovah in the Old Testament was his redemptive name of the Lord, and all names were attached to redemption. You know, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Those titles are always attached to Jehovah, saying to us simply that all these things come because that Jesus Christ is God and on the cross died for us. Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that heals you. Notice healing is attached to Jehovah, the work that Jesus did on the cross. But I think the best commentary of all of Isaiah chapter 53, these healing verses is brought out in Jesus' personal ministry. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, we have kind of the closing of a long period of time that goes way back, chapter after chapter, verse after verse, where the healings of Jesus were. And earlier in the chapter, where it began, it talked about Jesus healed everybody. And then in the midst of healing everybody, then it goes to individual cases. He not only healed in mass, of which there was just so many healings, all it said was he healed the multitudes, but then it came down to individual healings, because sometimes we think, well, Jesus just heals multitudes because, you know, he really doesn't care. No, he cares about you as an individual. And again, so many came to him. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, it simply says, that evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all who were sick. Notice he healed all that were sick. This was to fulfill, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, he took our sicknesses and bore our diseases. Notice, we often look at just the salvation part of Isaiah chapter 53, but Jesus went right to the verse of scripture, and the prophet here, again, that was spoken of as Isaiah, the writer was Matthew, and he simply said, when Jesus went to the cross, he healed all that were sick. Why? Because he took our sicknesses and bore our diseases. Where did he take them? Where did he bear them? On the cross. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 29 and 30, I'm going to end on this. If healing is not in the work of Jesus on the cross, why? The one major thing that we do reflecting the work of the cross, which is communion, why are there two elements and not just one? Why is wine and also bread used? Because wine is a type of healing for the inward man, and bread is for sickness in the outward man. Anointing with oil and water baptism only has one element. But here we have in communion two elements. Verse 30 says this, for this cause, many are weak and sick among you, and many die early. Why did he say that? It goes on to say before that, what cause is he talking about in verse 30? This cause, many are weak and sick among you. Go back to the end of verse 29, not discerning the Lord's body. It's by his stripes we were healed. Luke 22, verses 19 and 20, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said to them, this is my body, which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Jesus took both sickness, disease, as well as our sin on the cross. Two elements representing what Jesus did. Rejoice today in the fact that Jesus cares for you on the inside and Jesus cares for you on the outside. See you next time when we talk about the laying on of hands.
You can order resources, become a partner, or browse free articles and podcasts. You can also join our mailing list and receive weekly devotions and the latest ministry updates. Visit bobyandian.com. To contact us by mail, use the address on your screen. Thank you for watching today's broadcast. We'll see you next time on Student of the Word with Bob Yandian.